Good day, and welcome to the Oculight 3Q19 conference call. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I'd like to turn the conference over to Mr. Simon Kitchen. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good morning, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is the 3Q earnings call for Oculight. With me on the call, we have Hani Abu-Akkar, CFO, and Fotios Tsiritis, head of IR. I'm going to turn over the call now to Fotios. Thank you.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to our Oculight third quarter 2019 conference call. The transcript of this call and presentation will be available on the investor relations section of our website. Any statement that refers to expectation, projections, guidance, or any other characterization of future events, including financial projections or future market conditions, is a forward-looking statement based on assumption today. Actual results may differ materially from those expressed in these forward-looking statements. In addition, some of our remarks contain non-IFRS financial measures, such as EBITDA. A reconciliation of this is included in the note of this presentation. Now I would like to hand it over to the CFO of Oculight, Mr. Hani Abu-Akkar. Please, Hani, go ahead.
Thanks, Fotios. Hello, everyone, and thank you for joining us today. We really appreciate your usual support and participation in our conference calls. Together, we'll continue to enhance Oculight investor relations initiatives to strengthen our commitment to communication and, most importantly, improve transparency with all members of our investment community. I will begin by outlining the driver of Oculight value proposition, the success of our strategy execution, and how we delivered against them in this quarter, or at least 9 months year to date. I will then take you through our financial position and results before handing over to Fotios to give you a flavor about the global LNG shipping market. And at the end, I will review Oculight business outlook for the remaining of the year. Turning to slide 6, you can see that Oculight's recent transaction, which we expect to positively impact our investment case and financial performance. As you have seen from Oculight press release and international shipping news, we are happy to see that Oculight's strategic global LNG shipping capacity expansion at the beginning of the fourth quarter of 2019. Oculight signed an agreement to take a full ownership of the four Q-Flex LNG carriers from our previous joint venture partner, International Seaways. The transaction demonstrates the high-level teamwork that both companies had over the last 15 years. As you can see from slide number 7, this transaction brings the total number of wholly owned vessels from 25 to 29 LNG vessels, out of its overall fleet of 69 LNG vessels owned by Oculight. With LNG cargo carrying capacity of 217,000 CPM per vessel, the four LNG carriers have been successfully operated and managed by our in-house technical team since 2014. These four vessels are fully utilized in all these years. Since then, the four Q-Flex LNG carriers have been on a 25 years time charter to Oculight's long-standing customer Qatargas since the delivery late 2017 and early 2008. Consistent with Oculight management strategy that we have spoken about, Oculight fleets continue to grow through different means, whether existing or new capacity, with high quality of customers and charters. Furthermore, Oculight has four new builds to be delivered between 2020 and 2021, and will further grow our revenue and earnings and cash flow and increase the efficiency of operating our fleet competitively. It is also noteworthy that Oculight continue to work closely with our customer base of internationally renowned energy companies such as Shell, Cheniere, Trafigura, Woodside, and the largest charterer to our fleet, Qatargas. Our customers, being large energy producers, have long-term demand for LNG shipping, which enable us to adequately plan for their requirements while controlling any associated costs to operate these vessels. In addition, I'm delighted to report another strong quarter in terms of financial and operation performance and our progress towards achieving our well-defined financial objectives. I would like to share with you the key reasons why we believe that the outlook of Nakilat business is positive and it is solid. Please turn to slide number 9 and 10. As you can see, Nakilat has delivered an increase of 10.5% in its income for an amount of 728 compared to last year's results. Our efforts on sustained cost control has played a significant role, and I'm pleased to report that our operating expense has decreased by 5.2% and our G&A has decreased by 3.9% in the first 9 months of 2019 compared to 2018. This continues to be aligned with Nakilat's goal to maximize sustainable bottom line growth and value creation for our shareholders. In addition, we have reported a positive result with continual and meaningful improvement in year-to-date in our revenue, with an increase of 0.3% in our EBITDA. There's an increase of 0.3% in our revenue, our EBITDA of 1.8%, and for sure our earnings per share 10.5. And this is due to the factors that we have highlighted before. Our current ratio is currently at 1.25 and our return of equity is at 10.6. As you can see from going through the financial performance slides, that the third quarter results have been very promising and solid for Nakilat, and I would like to take you through our Nakilat financial positions as of September 30th, 2019. On slide 11, you can see a healthy balance sheet with a total assets equal to 30 billion Qatar riyal, as well as cash and bank balances of 2.5 billion riyal. And also you can see the repayment of our Nakilat scheduled debt amortization to continue to boost our position while freeing up our balance sheet for potential future ventures and opportunities. Turning to slide 12, we can see that Nakilat net borrowing has reduced by almost 4 billion in the last 6 years. Nakilat debt amortization at roughly twice the rate of our ship depreciation, for your information. Given the healthy long-term outlook of Nakilat of the LNG shipping, we do think that we are well capitalized with more than 9.1 billion in equity before hedging on our balance sheet. These financial indicators and our business developments are very aligned with Nakilat vision, which is to be the global leader and the provider of choice for energy transportation. With that, I will leave you back with Fotios to give you an update about the LNG shipping market. Fotios, please.
Thank you very much, Hani. Now I would like to give you an overview of the LNG shipping market. The end of this decade and the start of 2020 is a very exciting period for the global LNG development, with huge increase in supply, in trading, number of exporters, importers, and final investment decision for a host of new projects. Gas has an essential and vital role to the energy transition. Gas is abundant and affordable with huge carbon emission benefits over other fuels such as oil and coal. There is a profound transformation underway in global gas and source of incremental LNG supply. The global LNG market is changing. This change is evolutionary and multi-layered. There are new players, new business models, new trade routes, but all these together exist alongside with business practices and patterns that have persisted over decades. The substantial LNG supply on the market leading to historical low LNG prices in Europe and Asia. At the same time, there is a record level investment and interest in new LNG supply. The competitive LNG price creates a long-term demand, which helps to open a new market for clean, sustainable, and affordable energy for all the people. Thus, in the long run, the low gas prices will actually support the shipping in the long term. However, the low LNG price impacts negatively short term due to the charterers are willing to pay for transformation. The global investment community needs to understand that no ship means no movement of LNG. The availability and the cost of LNG shipping can make or break the economics of LNG deal, whether it is long-term, medium-term, or short-term. As the sector commodifies further, shipping will become increasingly important, as will maintain the safety of record of the entire industry. Please turn to the slide 14. You can see a high-level summary of LNG shipping market update. In the first 9 months of 2019, the spot rates for LNG shipping have been challenged due to lower transportation demand, which impact trade rates and global fleet utilization. Other reasons are also the very mild winter and the substantial supply of LNG hitting the market, resulting in reduced spot prices for gas, which have been the key drivers for lower than expected shipping demand. However, the shipping market has improved gradually with increasing ton miles and less availability of ships recently. In the last month, the cost of chartering LNG carrier has jumped the most since at least 2013. Market sees currently another strong winter for LNG market for the next upcoming months. Recently, you can see that LNG shipping rates have surged to $130,000 per day from around $80,000 per day at the end of September on the back of tightening market, which also benefit by increased floating storage level in Asia and further reducing the vessel supply in the market. And with shipping rates now in the override, market expects conversation around 1 year time charters to start to pick up soon. It is worth of mentioning that the term contracts remain robust, clearly illustrating the strong fundamentals of the LNG shipping market. For this reason, LNG ship owners are turning their attention to the requirements for multi-month and year charterers and are increasingly keen to lock away tonnage for 1 year plus periods. Turning to the slide 15 of our presentation, you can see that the global LNG fleet has 510 vessels in operation and another 109 vessels on order book as per Clarksons. This implies only an increase of 21.3% of the total LNG fleet in terms of number of vessels as of September of 2019. Only 40% of the 105 vessels of the current order book are charter-free and available to be absorbed by the new upcoming wave of LNG supply in the next few years. The current LNG fleet age profile is approximately 10 years old. In addition, positive market sentiment and the expected merger of two South Korean large yards have lifted the new build LNG price to a range of $100 million per vessel. With further improvement in charter rates and with booming investment in the sector, LNG carrier new build price will almost certainly continue to end up in the coming quarters. In relation to LNG trade and demand, Wood Mackenzie forecast the LNG trade to increase at the average annual rate of 3.9% until 2040. In the first 9 months of 2019, global LNG seaborne exports increased by 11.2% year on year. Specifically, Chinese LNG imports increased by 18.9% year on year to 43 million tons of LNG. However, Japanese demand fell by 7.5% and South Korean demand fell by 8% so far this year. This is because of increased nuclear power generation mild winter weather and low coal prices. However, the low LNG price have stimulated the demand in Europe due to growing environmental awareness and subsequently mass substitution of coal with LNG in the energy mix. It is worth to mention that emerging Asian economies such as India, China, Pakistan and South Korea, along with Europe, will continue to absorb the upcoming LNG supply due to rising energy demand and increased substitution of coal with LNG. On the LNG projects that reached FID stage in 2019, we have seen a whopping of 61.5 million tons of new liquefaction capacity sanctioned for the projects in the US and Mozambique. This is almost three times the volume given the go-ahead in 2018. The recent LNG liquefaction plant FID decision will create another wave of LNG demand for vessels in the mid of 2020s. From the second half of 2019 until 2020, shipping balance, you can see and you should expect to see a further improvement in the fundamentals of LNG shipping due to the incremental of US LNG supply, which will translate to a need of more shipping tonnage. As a final market note, the increasing appetite for LNG from emerging Asia economies, combined with the new LNG supply from export projects in US, Africa and Russia, will create a strong demand for LNG ships over the next year and will absorb the uncontracted vessels. Now, I would like to hand it back to Mr. Hani Abouaker to give you an insight into Nakilat's business outlook. Please, Hani, go ahead.
Thanks again, Fotios. Okay, guys, moving to slide 18, I will take you through our business outlook for the rest of 2019 and also shedding some light for the 2020. I should mention that Nakilat believes that its success has been and always will continue to be internally generated through our high-caliber workforce that forms the most valuable assets to our company. Aligned with our long-term growth strategy, Nakilat will continue to expand in-house operation to have a greater autonomy and a closer management of our assets. Our aim is basically to become the center of excellence in the LNG shipping market worldwide. This will in turn support our company's effort in strengthening in-house capabilities, technical know-how, and development of sustainable workforce, as well as optimizing our operational expenses. The company is consolidating its capabilities by means of digitalizing our system and processes, enhancing human capital capacity, developing competencies, and acquiring technical know-how, not only for the preparation for our next phase of LNG vessel transition, but also into our new segment that we got in, which is the FSRU. The next round of vessel management transition from our partner Sasco to our NSQL shipping arm is scheduled to commence in 2020. This will require NSQL to complement its skill base with additional knowledge and competencies and to strengthen our company's position in the fast-developing and niche segment of the LNG shipping industry. What does that mean for Nakilat? It's a very favorable position for us, which is, will help us to secure potential business opportunity and expand our portfolio globally. Furthermore, expansion exercises like the one that we have just concluded of acquisition of 49.9% of 4Q Flex effectively increased Nakilat's wholly owned fleet to 29 vessels. By expanding Nakilat's existing LNG capacity, we show that we have a long-term perspective on our assets, and our assets have a very long technical and economic life that will benefit our shareholders in the long term. In addition, the fleet growth and the benefit of the scale that we have a positive economic impact through the spreading the operating expense over a large number of operating days
but without growing our vessel management headcounts accordingly, it will increase the benefit for us in securing a competitive rate for our operating costs, such as repair and maintenance, lubricants, etc. In line with our strategy, our current priority is to continue to deliver a corporate balanced growth with our strong focus on international diversification, continuous cost rationalization, and sustainable long-term shareholders' return. As a final note, with this strong LNG shipping market fundamentals, Nakilat will continue to deliver sustainable shareholders' return and make full of use of its strategic alliances we have with our renowned partners to grow and diversify our portfolio internationally. We now, I think, ready for the question and answer. So.
Yes. Please, Simon, you can ask the floor for questions.
And to ask a question on today's call, that is star 1 on your telephone keypad. We'll go first to Bobby Sarkar with QNB Financial Services.
Hi, guys. This is Bobby Sarkar, QNB Financial Services. I have a couple questions. First one is, Kehani, can you please go over the details of the JVs this quarter? I see a slight decline quarter over quarter. I know that last year, on the third quarter, you had some the one-offs with TK. But anything happened this quarter so that you know the number went down versus the second quarter? And then secondly, in terms of the new acquisition, the four vessels from OSG, can you maybe go into more details as to what you would expect you know the financial impact of this deal would be? Thank you.
Okay. First of all, if we want to discuss about the LNG results, if we want to compare quarter to quarter, I mean, you're talking about the second quarter of 2019 compared to the third quarter of the 3 months against 3 months of 2019, the third quarter. As you know, Bobby, that we have also, other than the LNG and other shipping segments, our shipyard is also part of that reporting. It has its own cyclicality, as this business is very cyclical. However, it's still strategic for us as a shipping company for Nakilat. So we are working to achieve the best results out of this business. However, like any other cyclical business, we are going to face some challenges than any other segments that we have, like the long-term stable segments that we have in the shipping. As you can see, you know, like with what's happening right now with tanker markets and over the last couple of months and with the increased rate, that will dictate a lot of changes in the dynamics for the shipyard. Basically, ship owners might decide to delay some of the repair and maintenance that they regularly do for their own vessels to take advantage of the current tanker market. So our shipyard has not performed as good as how they've done in the first quarter and second quarter, and that maybe explain the difference that you have seen from quarter to quarter in that segment. The second question about that you have asked about the OSG takeover, that's an easy one, and I think if you go for our financial results in 2019, we report segment by segment. However, I can shed some light. In the joint venture reported a profit of the OSG Nakilat in 2018, close to $20.5 million. You should really be able to, and in 2017, they did around $29 million. So if you take the midpoint, which is around maybe $25 million, maybe that should be the number that you can look at for going forward to achieve for at least for this year. Now, you have to factor in that we acquired only in the last quarter, so you should really think about from the date that we acquired these vessels, early October 2018. I hope that I have answered your question, Bobby.
Great. Thank you, Ronnie.
We'll go next to Lee Beswick with QNB.
Hi. Could you tell me what your plans are for IMO 2020? What are you installing scrubbers in your ships, or have you changed the fuel in advance of the fuel change?
As you know, the IMO 2020 started to be effective from January of 2020. We are the world's largest LNG shipping company, and always we look to be compliant with the international maritime regulation. Actually, Nakilat, no, will not go to for scrubbers at the moment. This is not our preferred solution. But also have it in your mind that internationally wise, all the long-term contracts in LNG shipping market, the fueling is paid by the charterer. So we are a commercial discussion all with our charterers, and we let to them to decide what's the preferred solution for them.
Okay, but have you done anything about the change yet, given the deadline is very close, or are you still planning at the moment?
We are fully, our fleet is fully ready to have the to receive the compliant fuel as of January 2020. So we have already ensured that our fleet is equipped to receive a compliant fuel. And we will, which will depend on our charterers to advise us where we can have that fuel and how it's going to be delivered. For us, we are ready for full compliance. As of January 2020, our vessels is ready to receive compliant fuel.
Okay, thanks.
And once again, that's star one for questions. We'll go next to Anastasios with Crete Capital.
Yes, good afternoon, gentlemen. I have a question on the rates. We are reading in the VLCC market that the recent spike is due to sanctions on Chinese firms, large shippers from China, like Costco. I would like to ask you whether such a pattern applies also to the LNG fleet, and whether portion of the 510 vessels under operation at the moment are under sanction. Thank you.
Yes, look, it obviously has influence. As you can see, the charter rates have improved a lot the last 1 month. And one of the factors that has influence of this improvement of charter rates, it's also the U.S. sanction on Chinese entities like Costco. Have it in your mind that Costco is the largest LNG shipping company in China, and they control approximately 30 LNG carriers. And we saw actually charterers who had chartered these vessels to go to the market and to seek to charter the prompt vessels. Obviously, it has improved and helped this factor, but it's not only this factor. It's a combination of different factors. I hope I respond to your question.
Yes, thank you very much.
We'll go next to Tala Samori with Inventicum.
Hi, everybody. Just a quick question. With the decline in interest rates, first of all, the reason for the decline in equity, and would that affect your payment to borrowings in the near future?
Sorry, you mean the reduction in debt or in equity? Because I don't think our equity is decreasing significantly. But anyhow, the question is, can we really impact our ability for, you know, like impact our abilities to borrow money? Not really. You have to understand the business that we are in. It's a little bit unique and different. Banks always look at us for our cash flow rather than the asset itself per se. So if they can get an asset that already have existing a long-term contract, they feel more safe and secure, and that translates to a low-risk profile for us. So our vessels, most of them, they are on a charter, the time charter party. That will always have the bank very comfortable with us to lend us in the future. Plus, we as a company has already an existing 25-year time charter. So that's also that strength in our balance sheet gives the comfort to any banks for us to lend us money in case we had to expand or acquire new assets. We have clearly demonstrated that over the years. We continue to do it, and we don't see any issue about expanding our debt profile, assuming that we always acquire and assets for that.
Allow me to clarify. When I refer to the debt repayment, are you, you know, considering reducing the acceleration that happened in the past few quarters? Are you going to be increasing leverage given the reduction in cost? Definitely there was a reduction, potential reduction in cost given the reduction in interest rate. And with regard to the equity, can you please explain the hedge reserve for IRS? What is that?
Okay. First of all, I will answer your question about the amortization of our debt. We continue to amortize our debt for our existing assets. So basically, any assets that we acquire, we take a loan against that asset, against the contract that we have. So for that asset itself, we will continue to amortize that debt over the life of the contract or over the life of the assets going forward. Now, if there is an opportunity, as you can see, we have deleveraged quite a bit. If there's an opportunity that is going to come in the future, and we think that we have to really, because that's the nature of the business, it's highly leveraged because it's back-to-back against our contracts. So if there's an opportunity comes in the future that we have to really take further debt against a new potential asset, then, yeah, we don't see any reason why we would do that. In addition to the hedge reserve, as you can see, this is the hedge reserve that is for our swap contracts back in the 2007 and 8 when we acquired our wholly owned vessels. So basically, we hedged our interest rate exposure. And, you know, the accounting standards looks to evaluate only the liability side with our interest expense, which is to the hedge. However, they did not evaluate the economic side of our interest. Actual interest rate has decreased from, let's say, 6%, the LIBOR, or whatever it was, the rate back in 2000, or 5% in 2005, now towards the 2%. We are indifferent. Just it's an only, we believe, it's an accounting reporting standard where they show the potential liabilities over the time. However, they don't reflect the potential saving that you actually are gaining right now because of the interest rate on the underlying interest rate itself. So I hope I answered your question.
we treat each vessel, each project by itself with an amortized debt repayment. If there's a new opportunity with new vessels with a low risk, back-to-back, stable cash flow, with the right amortized debt and achieving a rate of return that to our equity contribution, will continue to do that. Thanks. I hope I answered the question.
Thank you.
We'll go next to Nicole Arora with Franklin Templeton.
Yes, hi, gentlemen. Thank you so much for hosting the call. A couple of questions from my side. Number one is that could you please walk us through like a brief rationale of the acquisition of International Seaways? I mean, what led you to acquire those vessels fully? And the second question I have is, I think last quarterly call you guys said that you're looking for two new vessels under the Maran JV in 2020 and 2021. Could you also please give us an update on how is that expansion going on? Thank you.
Regarding the OSG acquisition, we feel very happy and comfortable about this acquisition. These assets itself, we were already operating it. These assets already with the largest LNG producer in the world with a strong contract that left into that for the remaining 25 years. We believe we have achieved the targeted that we feel very happy and comfortable of a rate of return that we have done in the past. So I cannot see any reason not to feel just but delighted that our commercial team, okay, that they have done a great job in securing such an investment opportunity for us. So, yes, it's an asset. You operate it itself. So it makes sense that you can really have the ownership into that asset. So you're really in control of that. You're a charterer. You have been dealing with them for the last almost 10 years. Very well-known, largest producer. There's a quite number of years left into that contract, almost close to 12 to 13 years. All the numbers adds up, economics adds up. So we're happy, and we would love to do more of these. If it was up to us and as up to me as a CFO, I would love to see more of these rather than anything else. In regard to the global shipping, as you know, they are now being built in Korea. So hopefully the first two will be delivered on almost the first half of 2019. And 2020, the other two in 2021. And also we believe, as Fotios have shed the light about, then the market itself is very strong. So hopefully we're going to be able to reap the benefit of deploying them in these 2 years.
Thank you.
Okay, great, thanks.
We'll go next to Santosh Gupta with Drury.
Hi. I have a small question. I want to understand the nature of lease liability, which is there on the balance sheet. So, though quite small, this lease liability of about 100 million Qatari riyals under non-current liabilities. If you can please explain the nature of this liability.
Yeah, you have to understand under the new IFRS 16, any kind of lease contract with a third party, such as
you know, the lease for the buildings, for the head office. As you know, that we have to really apply the IFRS 16 requirements by putting it in the balance sheet as a liability. So that is just mainly the reason why this one, you can see it right now in our balance sheet.
Okay. Thank you.
We'll go next to Mustafa Amir with the Commercia Bank.
Hi, thank you for hosting the call today. Just another, you know, question on the interest charges. Do you expect now that we're in a decreasing rate environment for the interest charges to be lower heading into, you know, the last quarter of this year and for the first half next year? Thank you.
You know, again, as part of our economics, that when we generate, when we get into a new business deal and the amortization of our debt going forward, whether the interest rate stays the same or they go down, our interest expense will be lower. That's the nature of our business. Because as we pay off our debt over the years, our interest rate expense will be lower. Now, for the some portion of our debt that is not being hedged, maybe let's say around 20 to 25%, including our joint venture, definitely that will add up into our saving going forward. However, what really has helped us over the years is just the economics and how our charter and how our amortization of debt happens over the years. For instance, in 2018, interest rate has almost increased by close to 100% compared to 2017. Our interest expense impact was almost zero or even a little bit lower. So, yes, I believe as we pay off the debt, our interest expense will be lower or decrease. If there's a lower interest rate going forward, we should be able to translate into potential saving, even if we have some of our joint venture, maybe will if they do any sort of refinancing for some of their debts before the contract finishes, that's also potentially will help us to save money, as maybe they have already locked in a higher swap rates back in 2005 or 6 or 7. I hope I did answer your question.
Yes, thank you so much. Thank you.
And at this time, there are no further questions.
Thank you, Jennifer. Thank you, Hani and Fotios, for taking us through the earnings presentation and answering all our investor questions. I think that's it. As a reminder, there is a replay available. You should have details for that on your invitation for today's call. Thank you, everyone, for dialing in.
Okay.
I would like just to thank everyone for participating again today. I hope that we have answered all your questions. And we will make sure that the Nakilat management, including our CEO, is aware of any comments or concerns that you guys have. That being said, we always encourage you please to participate to not only through the conference call, but actually to keep in contact with us if you need further clarification in order for us to make sure that we provide the required transparency and governance in relation to our investor relation going forward. But yes.
Thank you so much for participating, guys. All members of the investment community have played a huge part in helping Nakilat to reach its goal of being a global leader and provider of choice. Again, we are looking forward to speak either the next weeks through private calls or through the next conference call. Thank you very much.
This does conclude today's conference. We thank you for your participation.